You're doing business in an app-driven, multi-cloud world. You want to build and run your apps on your choice of clouds, and you need to manage all those clouds as easily as one. With VMware cross-cloud services, you've got options. That's because VMware delivers the multi-cloud choice, security, and control you need to accelerate innovation, deliver great apps, and drive business forward. VMware, the smarter way to cloud. Learn more at vmware.com.
Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
So let me be plain. The Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan, in this conservative's opinion, has been a cut above the rest. At least those that preceded him, Dennis Bonin and Joe Strauss. And here's the reason why. He has been willing to talk to the conservative movement, hear our positions, and state his clearly, which is something more than we were ever given by Joe Strauss. Joe Strauss hates conservatives. Dennis Bonin looked down his nose on conservatives and despised us as well, wouldn't give us the time of day. So that one thing I can say about Dade Phelan, as he has come on my radio show several times and articulated his point of view. Now, we haven't always agreed, and that's okay. And you guys know I believe that. As a conservative, I believe in differing points of view. But I want to say that as I begin to basically unfold what has transpired, Speaker Dade Phelan writes the Texas scorecard, has been reelected as the Speaker of the House. But he was reelected with Republican and Democrat votes. The Texas scorecard, who was writing this? This is Soli Rice. Members of the Texas House overwhelmingly reelected Republican Dade Phelan of Beaumont as Speaker on Tuesday, with 145 of the 150 members supporting him for the role. The resounding message from Phelan's nominators and his own acceptance speech was clear. Republicans will share power in the lower chamber with Democrats. Now, let me stop there. The people of Texas did not elect Democrats in the majority. They elected Republicans. The people of Texas should expect, Republican priorities to be advanced. And the idea of sharing power with a party that, by the way, if they ever were in the majority, we know this from the past, the Democrats didn't share power with Republicans. As a matter of fact, in 1970, it was Speaker Craddock who appointed one chairperson, a Republican, out of the entirety of the chairs inside of the Democrat-controlled House back then. Just one. I think that could be a very good bar for Speaker Phelan to aim for. Phelan's supporters painted him as a good speaker who would prioritize cooperation and bipartisanship above all else. Bipartisanship with a party that abandoned Texas. With a party that is responsible for open borders and the decimation of the state of Texas. Bipartisanship with a party that is responsible for rampant crime in our streets and soft on crime policies. Bipartisanship with a political party that has more in common with communist China than it does with the people of Texas or with the founding fathers of this country. State Representative Cody Harris from Palestine A Republican offered the nominating speech for Phelan, saying that he was voting for his integrity, honesty, and steady hand. Well, I got to be honest with you folks, that Speaker Phelan has been very forthright with us on his positions when he comes on the radio with us. That is true. He is honest, brutally so, sometimes. Harris emphasized that Phelan's choice to award close to half of committee chairmanships to Democrats is, quote, the perfect example of how a representative government is supposed to work. Is it? So does that mean that Washington, D.C., that doesn't allow any of the rights of the minority under Democrats? Remember, it was the Democrat Party that struck down all rights of the minority. And that's the political party that the Republican leadership in Austin seeks to share power with, a party that doesn't share power when it is in the majority. State Representatives John Lujan and Tony Rose and Shelby Slauson offered second speeches that highlighted Phelan's record of reaching across the aisle and his desire for cooperation with the chamber. I was hoping that someone would get up and say that Mr. Phelan has also recognized that Speaker Phelan is a conservative and he doesn't want to ignore conservatives. But according to the Texas scorecard write-up today, that wasn't part of the speech. The speeches that were given. Meanwhile, State Representative Tracy King, Democrat from Uvalde, said he was supporting Phelan because Phelan gets it. King also pointed out, in his opinion, the most important thing that Phelan has ever done was to visit Uvalde, Texas, last week to meet with families of those who were victims of last May's tragic shootings. The article goes on saying that today's vote was contested, with State Representative Brian Slayton of Roy City nominating State Representative Tony Tinderholt of Arlington, Texas, was seconded by freshman state rep Nate Schatzline. And that leads to the second story from the Texas scorecard. Tinderholt and Slayton call out Republican leadership. The status quo remains because people want their power, is the sub-headline. This one written by Katie Drollinger. Leading up to the 88th legislative session, Republican state reps Tony Tinderholt and Brian Slayton called on their fellow conservative lawmakers to listen to their constituents and pass legislation in line with the Republican Party of Texas priorities. On January 10th, the first day of the legislative session, Tinderholt and Slayton gave speeches on the floor in support of Tinderholt for Speaker. Last year, Tinderholt announced a challenge to incumbent House Speaker Dade Phelan, citing Phelan's lack of action on Republican priority issues. As Speaker, Phelan exercises enormous influence in the legislation considered in the House by setting its agenda, organizing committees, and selecting committee chairmen. Slayton soon endorsed Tinderholt, bringing attention to Phelan's support of giving committee chairmanships to Democrats, which allowed them to kill Republican legislation by simply not including conservative measures in the agenda. In his speech, Slayton said he believes Phelan's cooperation with Democrats during the last session hurt Republican priorities. Quote, our speaker courted the Democrats to get his position, gave them chairmanships, protected them from being punished when they fled to D.C., and today every single one of our Democrat colleagues will be voting for his leadership in this chamber, said Slayton. Some will claim this is good for bipartisanship, but it's actually just a powerful consolation prize for losing elections. Slayton then called Republican lawmakers to listen to their constituents and pass legislation that conservative voters support. Quote, at some point, we need to realize we are settling for just enough wins to get reelected, said Slayton. We cannot afford to operate that way anymore. It is time for Republicans to take the lead to actually implement the conservative policies that people are demanding. We have a lot to do, and the 8 GOP legislative priorities are only the bare minimum that we have to accomplish this session. Tinderholt agreed and promised to champion conservative causes and upset the status quo if elected to speaker. Ask yourself, what do Texans need and deserve? I've realized they need me to fight to challenge this broken system, to give essential policies a chance to pass, what we have been doing has not been working. The change needed is uncomfortable. But the cost of doing what is right pales in comparison to the cost of this House repeating lost opportunities session after session. He closed by accusing those who oppose change of clinging to power. The status quo remains because people want their power. They want their committee chairmanships. They want their gavel. They want the ability to control the power and the purse strings, but they don't want to look into the mirror to fundamentally change a broken town, a broken house, a broken body, and a broken federal government. House members elected Phelan as Speaker, 145-3. Tenderholt Slayton and Representative Nate Schatzlein voted for Mr. Tenderholt. And that leads to the last story at Texas Scorecard. Republican lawmakers face growing grassroots pressure to ban Democrat chairs. Our voters clearly gave Republicans a majority in the legislature and expect Republicans to lead. This one is written by Aaron Anderson. With the 2023 legislative session about to start, more grassroots groups are pressing their Republican state representatives to stop giving Democrats powerful committee chairmanships. Why is this such an important issue? Asked Kaufman County conservative Republicans. Well, they wrote, currently, the Speaker awards chairmanships to Democrats as well as Republicans. Last session, despite a clear Republican majority, approximately 40% of House committees were chaired by Democrats. This must change. Our voters clearly gave Republicans a majority in the legislature and expect Republicans to lead. Folks, this practice of putting Democrats in to kill conservative bills has been in place by individuals who claim to be Republicans, but or even claim to be conservatives, but are not, that can't get elected as Democrats. So they have policies that are Democrats. They favor Democrats, but they can't get elected as Democrats. So they claim to be Republicans. Now, I'm not saying that is Speaker Dade Phelan. I am simply saying past speakers have used this tactic as Republicans to kill conservative legislation that they really hate. So it is my considered opinion that Democrat chairmen should be used very sparingly with conservatism and the people of Texas in mind. For example, I can tell you definitively the reason why Texas is still among the knuckle-dragging states in the union not offering parental school choice is because not of Democrats, even though they universally vote against that. It's because of Republicans. There are small district Republicans who band together with socialists and communists to stab Texas parents in the back and say, no, you will not have the power and authority of the purse over your child's education. I forbid it. I rule over you. I forbid it, say Republicans. Now, there's a Democrat by the name of Harold Dutton who has said, who actually thinks that children should get an education and whose priorities are, in particular, minority children not getting an education because the education system is dominated by cronies, by individuals who are padding their own pockets, the education lobby. And Harold Dutton has signaled he will allow a vote on parental school choice, on a good parental school choice bill. Now, he may vote no on it, but he's going to allow a vote and allow the Republicans to go on the record. Do they stand with the parents of Texas or do they stand with government ed? And you know where I stand, folks. The worst mistake this nation ever made was allowing government to educate our children. Before this speaker vote, I sat down with Representative Tony Tenderholt. We had had scheduled that day Speaker Dade Phelan, but he had to cancel because of a conflict. So we reached out to Tony Tenderholt, and he was there for us to discuss with him these issues. Now, even though the speaker's race has been decided here in Texas, the issues still remain. And you will hear those issues discussed in vivid detail coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to texasscorecard.com today.
As you all know, there was a discussion on the federal level as to who would be the Speaker of the House. And there's also was a discussion here in Texas on the same matter. And even though that's been settled, the issues still remain. Late last week, I had a discussion on those issues with my next guest, Representative Tony Tinderholt. He is the conservative who represents District 94 in the great state of Texas in the Texas State House. He has announced a run for the speakership of the Texas House. Mr. Tinderholt, Happy New Year and welcome back.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Doing great, sir. Thank you for being here. Now, if you read the left-wing rags across the state of Texas, your bid for speaker is a long shot, they say at best. Are they telling the truth?
Well, yeah, certainly. It's a long shot when someone's running against an incumbent speaker because traditionally speakers have a lot of control and power and they intimidate people either intentionally or unintentionally, or the people that work with them intimidate and threaten. So It's always going to be a long shot. I mean, if you look at what's happening in D.C. right now, there's a lot of intimidation. Look at what Crenshaw is doing to the other members right now.
Well, we haven't talked much about that on this program, so why don't you go ahead and articulate what you saw as being out of bounds?
Well, you know, like Dan Crenshaw from Texas is saying that the 20 people that are standing up to McCarthy, who McCarthy will work with Democrats similar to like what Dade Phelan has already done. And so we have 20 strong people standing up to McCarthy saying, no, we don't want you as speaker. And Dan Crenshaw is basically saying these people are pathetic, that they need to get on board, they need to do the right thing. And that's exactly what happens in Texas. The other members will say, I can't believe you're not voting for Dade. I can't believe you're not doing what we're telling you to do. Well, last time I checked, Chris, I work for 200 to 205,000 people in the Arlington and in North Texas area, not the other 149 members in the Texas House. And so when we go to Austin, our job is to legislate and vote. Everything we vote on should revolve around the people at home and nothing to do with the people inside that building.
Well, I would concur that under a what some would call a strong speaker dynamic is what you're seeing on the federal level. What Nancy Pelosi did, she disallowed the people's representatives to put amendments on certain bills. You have a certain select committee of people writing bills, and then it gets dropped on legislators to vote yes or no on. And that's a terrible way to govern. It's actually a mentality of ruling and not governing. So walk the folks through the process that has been the Texas legislature, because I think people have got to know what happens. It's not where all of our representatives go there and everybody has a say and everybody has their input and they come to a consensus and they put together a good bill and they vote. That's not what happens, is it?
So I'll walk you through the process.
Okay.
I mean, it's really pretty complex. Someone files a bill and it is referred to a committee, and the speaker can refer that bill to the wrong committee but the right chairman for the speaker to have the intended outcome. Does that make sense so far?
Right. That's where you send a bill to die, in other words.
Yep. And so they pick Democrat chairman, they put them in certain committees, and then they send bills there to die. That's the first way that they kill bills. Now, in committee, the chairman can just not hear a bill so it dies, or they hear the bill and they don't get enough votes.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Isn't that the hazard of having, and maybe this is why there are so many air quotes Republicans who are in favor of having Democrat chairs, because let's say you get a good conservative bill that'll benefit everybody in Texas, but special interests don't want it. And so the special interests call up the leadership of the Texas House and say, we don't want this bill. Screw the people. We don't care about the people. So you send it as a Republican, you send it over to a Democrat chairman who kills it, then you get to say, hey, it wasn't us, it was the Democrat who did it. Isn't that how the game is played?
Like how it's been for decades. That's how it works. And right now, we have a rock star that authored a rule change last session that there's almost no Republicans voted for that last time. Well, 82% of Republican primary voters across the state said they don't want Democrat airmen. And here's why. There's going to be about 1,500 bills that we're going to be voting on throughout the session. And there's 8 Republican primaries. Think about that for a moment. 8 Republican priorities. They're created by the party that we elect to put behind our name. There's no reason with a Republican House, held House, that we can't vote out of those 1,500, 8 of those as the Republican priorities. But traditionally, we oftentimes don't vote on any or very few. They water them down because the Speaker works with the Democrats. He has to have the Democrats to get himself voted in.
Now, hold on. I think a lot of folks who maybe haven't been paying attention would be surprised to learn, especially from those listening in around the rest of the country, Representative Tinderholt, that the Texas Speaker, at least for the last 3, have relied on Democrat support to get their speakership, not all of the Republican caucus, even though the Republicans are in the majority. There's a price that is paid when you owe your speakership to the other party. You have to give the other party something, correct?
That's exactly true. The Democrats left last session. They left their place of business. They fled the state. They went to Washington, D.C., grabbed a case of beer. They took pictures of it, and they got on an airplane, went to Washington, D.C. to be with the super progressive liberals. Instead of being in Austin, 2 hours before that happened, I went to the Speaker and said, hey, they're leaving. We need to do a call to the House. He refused. And when they came back, he was hugging them, taking pictures. Now, think about this for a minute. I'm at the front mic almost every day fighting him and the parliamentarian to hold the Democrats accountable, and they would not allow us to. Now we have a new Democrat caucus chairman, Trey Martinez-Fisher, saying fleeing the state last session was very helpful to us, and it helped us water down the election integrity bill. And when asked, would you do it again, he said, yes, if we have to, we would do it again.
Okay.
Yet we were trying to put rules in place to stop it from ever happening and punish them and hold them accountable for what they did, and the Speaker will not allow it.
Folks, what you got to know, for those of you outside of Texas or those of you in Texas who weren't paying attention, the last time a Texas session, legislative session was held, the Democrats decided they would leave. They abandoned the people of Texas. As a matter of fact, Symphronia Thompson, one of the main spokespersons for the Democrat caucus, a woman who's been in government a half century, she equated her job in government as slavery. Yes, she is a black woman, and she called it slavery. And instead of punishing the act of abandoning the state of Texas, the Republican leadership in the state house rewarded these Democrats for abandoning their constituents, abandoning Texas. And I think that's what you're hearing Representative Tinderholt saying, that shouldn't be rewarded. That should be condemned. Tony Tinderholt is our guest, District 94. He is trying to be the next Speaker of the Texas House. So let me ask you how what's playing out in Washington is impacting things back here in Texas. Is it resonating at all with members that you're talking to, or are they like, ho-hum, we're going to do our own thing here in Texas?
Well, interestingly, a lot of them are just going to vote for the Speaker, and they're going to vote for the Speaker for many reasons. Some of them have leadership positions they don't want to give up. Some of them fear. I've had them tell me that they fear retribution if they vote for me and we lose. But yeah, the same things happen everywhere. Everyone wants power. Everyone wants control. And there's not enough legislators that go to their capital, the U.S. or their state capital, and want to work for the people. They get embedded into this capital mentality where they want to be friends with the people at the capital, and they want to make each other happy, and they want to support the current leadership. And I think what you're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now is 20 strong people that are standing up and trying to get at least concessions from the person they think might become Speaker or get a different Speaker. But in Texas, sadly, we didn't have any of the Republicans stand up to the current speaker to at least even try to get concessions. They just went along with the speaker. And, you know, the sad part about it is the cards are going to play out the same as they did last session. Child gender modification is going to struggle passing. It didn't pass last session. Yet you hear people say we had the most conservative session ever in Texas. Think about it. They passed a bill. We passed a bill in Texas where people can't smoke until they're 21. So now you can't drink or smoke until you're 21, but you can join the military, you can vote at 18. But if you want to permanently modify your gender, permanently mutilate your body, or your parent wants to, they can do that. And they say the children know enough about themselves that they can do it. It's pretty disgusting, and it's low-hanging fruit for Republicans. Heck, a lot of Democrats don't want child gender modification. But when the speaker makes promises to Democrats to become the powerful speaker, this is what happens.
Well, there's another a bit of promises that were made. You've got parental school choice that is the majority of Texans, and I'm talking Republicans, Democrats, Independents. The Dallas Morning News did a poll. The Democrat Morning News did a poll. And even Democrats support, the majority of Democrats support school choice. And this is where these elected leaders say, we don't give a damn what the people say. We rule you. And there is an effort right now, I am aware, from people who laughingly call themselves Republicans in small districts who are trying to kill and basically give the middle finger to every parent in the state of Texas. Let me ask you your opinion. Does parental school choice at least get to the floor a good bill, not one that is designed to die, but one that puts the power of the purse back in the hands of where it belongs, in the parents' hands? Will it get an up or down vote?
Sadly, with the current speaker, the answer is no. There will be Democrat chairmen in place that hold the bill up or kill it. But anytime that any type of school choice comes to the floor, it just doesn't move. It doesn't move. There's members in that House that do not want parents to have choice. And last time I checked, parents should be able to make individual decisions for their children and themselves. I know that what school is, and what school type, and what school for my 4 and my 6-year-old.
Yeah.
But I and you and anyone listening in Texas doesn't have the opportunity to choose that. You can either go to public school, you can choose a charter school, or you can choose to go pay for your own. Yet you're paying taxes for school.
It's an absolute unfair system. And by the way, it's a failed system. And these air quotes Republicans who are determined to keep your children in failed schools, when you ask them, hey, what are you going to do to monitor these schools in quality? Oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not gonna go monitor my district schools. I'm not gonna have any say. I'm terrified of these superintendents. These members will tell you in private drunken moments. But they'll sit there and tell the parents, we don't give a damn about your kids. We're gonna take away your power to do anything of benefit for your kids. And oh, by the way, we're not gonna monitor these school districts to make sure that they're teaching rather than indoctrinating. So it's basically a surrender. We're surrendering your children to the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism, and the critical race theory BS that these school systems have deteriorated into. And not only are we not going to do any work to protect your kids, we're not going to allow you to protect your kids. And that is really a sick position for any Republican to have, isn't it?
It is, and I want to be clear. There's some good school districts out there. There are great school districts, amazing teachers in the public school system. But as a parent, you should be able to choose. And right now, the fact is that you are not afforded the opportunity to choose where you use your tax dollars.
Just not the case.
And they're just trying to protect the big bureaucratic system.
Yep.
When we should really worry about outcomes. We want quality outcomes. By the time someone's in third grade, they should be reading. There's indicators out there that say what success is. We know what they are. And many of school districts and many individual schools are failing at those benchmarks. Parents should be able to take their children and educate them in the manner that they deem is best.
Well, Representative Tinderholt, has your bid for speaker moved the needle at all? Has it at least given some room for discussion or thought that perhaps things are not going swimmingly in a Texas that is, for example, part of the knuckle-dragging coalition, not allowing parental school choice, part of this this institutionalized idiocy known as taxpayer-funded lobbying. All of this nonsense that the people despise and that the legislature is working against the will of the people, has your bid for speaker moved the needle at all?
I think it has in big ways, and I think some people inside the Capitol would say no because they want to be angry that I ran. I think this is the first time that someone's running for speaker where thousands of Texas, grassroots Texans across the state, are contacting their state reps and telling them who they want and what they want. So what it's doing is it's creating pressure on individual members. So let's just pretend for a moment that next Tuesday that I lose. If I lose, these members are being pressured, right? They're being pressured to vote for me. But if they give in and they go vote for Dave Phelan, they are going to continue to have pressure every single time that Dade or the Democrats do something poorly. For example, school choice or child gender modification. They are going to create pressure on leadership and other members to push conservative legislation. Now, we hope we win Tuesday. But the question was, have we moved the needle? I think discussions are happening. I've talked to a lot of members. The sad truth is that many of them fear retribution. So our hope is that we win. If we don't win, we're moving the needle. And then we hope that Brian Slayton's amendment to ban Democrat chairs, the rule to ban Democrat chairs, we hope that passes on Thursday the 12th.
And so, folks, you ought to be on the phone making sure that every one of your members, anybody within the sound of our voice, votes for no Democrat chairs. And I'll say this. I did receive assurances from the speaker, from the governor, and from the lieutenant governor that there will be a vote for a school choice bill because of all of the malfeasance that has been uncovered in GovEd from the China virus, all those revelations. One thing I want to ask you, and I asked the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi, about this. It's a bill that I call the John Cornyn recall senator's bill. Now, you and I both know that there has never been a recall of a congressman or a federal senator in the history of the United States. But would you be, as a representative, would you be okay filing a bill that would be a direct challenge to the 17th Amendment on this premise, that the 17th Amendment was passed by a bunch of self-interested idiots in the Congress to basically turn the popular vote over to senators rather than having the senators be appointed by their states? And the reason why it's named for John Cornyn is that John Cornyn, Representative Tinderholt, just made a vote that sent millions of dollars down to the border prohibiting any use of that money to secure that border. He wants to facilitate and continue illegal immigration, as you know, which is laying waste to the to whole communities, whole swaths of Texas, harming Texas greatly. And John Cornyn cast a vote out of loyalty to Mitch McConnell, and he betrayed every single voter in Texas. So I want to challenge the 17th Amendment. It'll likely be struck down, but it'll start the conversation. Would you be willing to author and try to get a vote of the John Cornyn recall senators, only senators, bill?
So I'm interested in having discussions about it, but here's my fear. In any state, I work in Texas, and we have a Republican-held majority, but oftentimes the right outcomes don't happen. And so we have to be very careful. So I'm not saying no, but what I'm saying is we got to think about, is the vote by the constituents going to have better outcomes than the individuals, the state reps, and the senators? I mean, you see what the Texas House and senators made up, and you know what bills you want to pass and what you don't want to pass. And so the answer is, I think we need to talk because we have to be careful. Would the elected officials choose better than the people of Texas? And I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
Well, and I have Only my faith in the founding fathers of this country who meticulously constructed that Constitution to say, you know, sending senators up to Capitol Hill that are not loyal to their states, because as you know, John Cornyn is more loyal to Mitch McConnell, who is a turncoat, who is a socialist Democrat gladhander. He is more loyal to Mitch McConnell than he is to the people of Texas. And I'm sorry, there has to be a remedy in between 6 years for senators who go rogue on the Second Amendment, as John Cornyn has, who go rogue on protecting the people of Texas on the border, as John Cornyn has. We have to have more tools at our disposal when a guy like John Cornyn reverts to his natural form, which is a left-wing extremist.
Can you believe that we have such a stark difference or contrast in senators in Texas?
I can't.
I mean, look at the two senators we have, Ted Cruz and John Cornyn.
I know.
What a difference, right?
I know. It's we should be Xeroxing Ted Cruz and putting somebody like him, somebody who is conservative, somebody who is constitutional, and not somebody that is reckless and frankly, is so inclined to stab conservatives in the back for his own personal agenda and out of his loyalty to Mitch McConnell, a Kentucky senator who has no loyalty to anybody but China.
But see, that's the problem, Chris, is, and you and I have talked in the past, and you know, my job when I go to Austin is to represent the people at home.
Yep.
And sometimes I get along with leadership, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I agree with them, and oftentimes I don't. And it's okay. And it's disappointing for any elected official to go to their job, their place of business, to work for the people, and choose leadership over the people.
Yep. It is a sad testament to the way things are currently arrayed, and it's something that must change if this government's going to get back, both on the national level and on the Texas level, back to a government of, by, and for the people.
I was just going to say, it's funny that our minds think alike. I was just going to say, it's of, by, and for the people. It's not of, by, and for the leadership of the Texas House, or of, by, and for...
What a way to put an exclamation point on the interview, because this is what we've been saying. The Republican Party is rudderless because it has no core values. You and I are conservatives, so we have a core set of values. We're always going to defer to the Constitution, freedom, liberty, security, and prosperity, whereas others who claim to be Republicans don't. The representative from District 94, Tony Tinderholz, sir, thank you for the time, as always, here on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, that's going to wrap this one up. That was a discussion, again, that we had last week before the speaker's vote that has already come to fruition. But the concepts that will still be in front of us until the Republican Party has its come-to-Jesus moment with itself will still remain. Couple of websites I want you to check out for all the latest news in the great state of Texas. TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the news that is big in Texas. Big in Texas means it's big every place else in these United States. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. Track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas, and on Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.